afternoon, Australia, and good evening, America. Welcome to everyone listening across Europe and Asia and into Canada. This is Insight Intelligence, and my beautiful co-host, Mario Beckers, will be joining us momentarily. But before we get on with the show, just a quick reminder, we have the lovely Hannah ready and waiting. So if you're listening on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, Hannah has the links to anything that we talk about in the show today, and more particular, the links to connect with Mario on social media, via his website, via his email. And I encourage you to reach out and do that this week. Now, each week we do a welcome to country, and that's an incredibly important part of each and every show. So before we get on with the show, I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast and meet, and pay my respect to the elders past and present and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people listening and watching today. Now, this is the next show, the sixth show in our series with Mario Beckers, and it's called Insight Intelligence, and the reason is that Mario is an intelligence specialist. He grew up in communist Croatia, went through a war, started in public service in the army, and now is a natural-born leader, public speaker, result-driven, best-selling published book author. He's a relationship builder, a facilitator, and he has incredible decades and decades of experience in investigative techniques and interviewing, interrogation methods, corporate, human, and competitive business intelligence. And why is this important? You'll have to go back and listen to the rest of the shows, and we will tell you more about it today. Mario works across the public and private sectors, so in government and in business, across Australia and indeed globally. He has proven investigative techniques and strategies and has a highly professional team standing behind him. Welcome back to the show, Mario.
Thank you, Tony, for having me today again in your show. I'd like to say thank you to all viewers and listeners of the Tony Lontis show. As well, I'd like to say a big thanks to the people in US, your team, who is standing now behind this show and making sure that we have the smooth and seamless streaming. And thank you for having me again.
Oh, Mario, thank you. It's very comforting knowing that TJ and the team check our sound and video before we go live to air. It's kind of, it causes me to relax. As soon as I hear TJ's, Doug's, or Don's voice before a show, I'm like, okay, everything's as it should be. We're all ready to go. Let's do this. Mario, this week we want to focus on training and education. Now, you're really passionate about training and education and its importance, particularly in the area of surveillance. So I want to talk about the types of training that you can provide for your clients, the corporations and businesses that you work with globally. And then I'd also like for you to talk, if you can, about the extensive training and education that you've done, and that includes a master's in intelligence analysis, and that important component of what you do around education and training. So let's start with you and your experience and training to this day.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you again for having your show. Thank you to all viewers and listeners who are currently right now with us. And I truly believe that there will be, that being said, with this interview with you, they're going to be empowered and understand the power of the knowledge. Mm-hmm. We can all start with understanding that information, always come back to that point, information is the most valuable commodity in a business. But that doesn't work well if you don't know what you're looking for, how you're looking for, and how to analyze and how to, at the end, how to utilize this information. People usually go by impulse. I was blessed enough that my life started very early. at the age of 14. I was in special schools then in communism. My grandfather sent me a part of a military school. There was educational schools. They called the summer camps. And they were filtering. Actually, it was recruitment. You know, you're learning about politics, you're learning about economy, you're learning about all this stuff. But after all, you are the guy who is, you know, you don't know what's happening around you, but you're very happy to absorb that knowledge. Of course, everything is like a mild and mellow. But then you can, you know, as you're growing up, you are being exposed to more and more real stuff. And my very first touch was when I was 17 years old. I was being approached by the one, you know, like in the movies, like a, you know, raincoat type of guy, the hat and everything else. And
every time you tell me that story, Mario, I have that vision of the real long, dark overcoat and the hat, maybe the faint smell of cigar smoke.
Oh, look, it was compulsory then to start smoking. I didn't smoke. But, you know, you need to have some drinks and everything else. But in hindsight, because I didn't want to take the drinks and I didn't want to be the part of that, you know, class of just being in a pub and everything else, actually was working very well for me, because that was a prerequisite that you don't socialize with the people in public except when you are being tasked to do so. So that was a random first exposure. Then the following months was being more tense. And then finally war broke out in Yugoslavia, as we all know. Croatia fought for democracy, independence, something similar like Ukraine again. I need to make the parallel. And I found myself So I found myself in the position to being trained, but war was war. Then they don't need spies or, you know, intelligence officers. That's be reserved for the older generation. And to be truthful, if I was being positioned to 18 years old to be intelligence officer, I didn't know nothing. I have no exposure except theoretically and a little bit practical exercises. But what it happened then, 95, I was being enrolled in police academy. To the first, my one of many trainings was forensic investigations, which I say criminal investigations, forensic investigations. So that was the first exposure. Then second one was counterterrorism intelligence, counterterrorism, you know, combat. And the list was going on and on and on and on that finally I graduate, I'll call the graduate, 98, in Department of Foreign Affairs in as an intelligence security operative for my government and being positioned in Croatian embassy in Canberra. So that's not a secret, you know, that's my
curriculum. Yes, that's pretty cool. Let's just acknowledge that young boy that had such a tumultuous upbringing and had such terrible things happen to him is now in a diplomatic position within an embassy in Australia.
That's
Let's
great.
Just acknowledge that is great strength and growth to get to that
point.
Thank
you, Tony. And then suddenly you find yourself in the environment when you are 27 years old. For my standards, that's very young. And, you know, you're far away from your home with such responsibility, accountability, where you need to apply your knowledge. And then, you know, as I stayed in Australia, I finished the diploma in fraud investigations and many other certificates. And now I'm just on the cusp just to get that certificate, master's. I finished the diploma in intelligence art. And then now just a few more small essays, and then I get my master's in intelligence art. So, hopefully that will be, and you know, that insatiable thirst for knowledge is something we all drive. I suffered that syndrome. You know, you've always been surrounded with people who finish university, and then you look behind yourself and say, "Like, but I was being a war." Like, but nobody cares. When the war finishes, everybody takes the people with the skills, and you know, so these things. But I was, I say, I was very fortunate enough that my government invested a tremendous amount of money sending me abroad as well to the schools, which for these conversations are not important, but relating to the counterterrorism intelligence and so these things. So yes, I did quite extensive education and training, but that is not enough, Tony, because when I gave pride of Inside Intelligence Group, it's not just me, but the people who work for them, for my business, because without them, my business will not exist. And I acknowledge everybody, single one who works for Inside Intelligence in any capacity, because these people bringing that wealth knowledge. And what I always envisage is to be challenged in conversations with coffee and anything else. My education doesn't corresponding education in Australia. That's number one.
Yes.
But modus operandi is almost similar. However, you witnessing and people in the US can witness as well. Fraud and crime evolving.
That's the same policing, across the world, isn't it?
Yeah, policing doesn't evolving. Police is always retroactive, more than proactive when it comes to investigations. So something needs to happen to investigate. There's a term called the preliminary investigations, which we're teaching how to conduct. But that's all, you know, chasing the hunches and some type of information when you can afford yourself time. But, you know, government sector is very busy for those things, and they are concentrating themselves and effort and assets and money and logistics on the cases they're requiring immediate attention.
Yeah.
In corporate world, as I said, like, I'm very proud to say the people who work for Institute Intelligence Group, there are people who bring their wealth and knowledge as well.
Yeah.
So that doesn't position myself, I'm the smartest guy, regardless of my academics, regardless of my previous experiences, crime, fraud, workers' compensation claims, you know, anything, they're evolving. People becoming more skilled. And how they become skilled? They become skilled in very simple terms, Tony.
Yes.
Society educate them. You know, you can go on Google and, you know, there's a plenty of books, you know, how to learn to steal, how to learn to make the fraud, how not to be catched with it.
Yeah,
very
it?
Sad, very sad. So the education is very important asset for the any organization to have in their disposal. Perhaps they don't have the skilled people in organization because, you know, not every organization can afford the time and effort and money to continuously follow the trends on the market. When I say market worldwide.
Yes.
Past 2 years, and you'll agree to me, working from home, it is increased a lot of problems for organization when it comes to the fraud, identity theft, espionage. And only person I can say that successfully worked from home was a Hugh Hefner. He had no problems. He has everything. So so he didn't care for that, those things, because has everything on his eyesight.
Yeah.
But education is a theory. Education is necessary. And as I mentioned before, me personally, I suffer that syndrome. People have universities and I don't have. So you've always been, where I grew up in society, lower class, considered lower class rather than being seen as somebody else. Taking further education on language, which is not mine, which is English, caused a lot of strain for myself. But
English
I need it.
English is tough, isn't it, Mario? English is a tough language.
It is. Truly, it is. You must be very careful what you're saying, how you're saying. And one word, if you don't spell properly, in my case, it's like many words, people don't hear nothing afterwards. So I need to slow down. As you remember, and many listeners perhaps should, you know, the turntables, long plays, you know, put on the 33, it's normal, then you slow down, everything else.
Yeah.
So slow motion. But it helped me quite a lot to get in contact with many academics. I've done a lot of research to university, Charles Sturt University. So I combine all that knowledge, but yet is not fulfilled all criteria to fight the fraud.
It's huge, isn't it, Mario? The investigative surveillance, crime, fraud, it's a massive, broad, extensive body of stuff that you need to know.
Yes, but Tony, you'll agree, and the listeners as well. I respect that everybody finishes some type of school, but if I say I finished my investigative course 1995, you know, today it's 2022, that's a 27 years, you know, in past, that is quite a lot of time where the crime evolved. So investigative techniques evolving as well. So you need to be updated continuously. I can say that I have a benefit of my work that I can see to the request of the work we to conduct, that it's a new methods be developed and how the forces start thinking, what tools they're using and how they're using those tools.
Yes.
And in hindsight, it's very important that education must be understood as a theory. But prior to this, all my knowledge is not good if I can't utilize and pass on people who are interested. That's correct. Because, you know, we have a limited time on this planet, as you know.
Yeah.
And the knowledge is there to be shared, not to keep, you know, for myself. Of course, we keep some secrets for ourselves, of course. but that must be said that education is not over. You can split in two parts. First, it's a theory and then a practice. But as well, you must have the desire to learn more. So that's the world I'm bringing from corporate world. It's my experience in government sector, in policing, military intelligence, counterintelligence, security, military and diplomatic intelligence, diplomatic security, plus everything else. And then when you combine all this, you can understand that exposure I did have helped my clients to learn more quicker by utilizing less amount of time and money. And plus, as well, I like to hear, you know, from everybody else, their stories. And, you know, because as I said, like, nobody's the smartest person, but education is one of the most important components in life. And if we stop educating ourselves and then transfer that theory into a practical field, then there's no successes, because you can't, you, Tony, as well, you know, we spoke about this one. Who will say that 2 years before we will have the COVID? Who will say that we'll conduct interviews via the Zoom, that we're going to share the knowledge online? Are we doing this now? Yeah. So that's very important to be acknowledged.
Mario, I'm actually, when you were talking then about online, I'm actually thinking of that whole online and digital world and the crime and fraud and ID theft and stuff that has been escalating in that realm. And I understand that part of what you need to do is actually educate corporations on how this stuff is increasing, and that they need to actually have risk management and thoughts around this before they're actually in a place where they've been defrauded or their identity has been stolen. And that's where you work in terms of education as well, Mario, isn't it?
That's correct. And when you talk about education, I was looking the way how to educate clients with my knowledge, to arm them with my knowledge. I couldn't influence somebody who's going to adapt, adjust, or utilize my knowledge. So I need to find a different form how I can leave that knowledge for the times when they can be in, I don't know, on a plane. So I start writing the books. Books, very powerful tools. You need to control those books, who to go and everything else. But books, again, it's a theory. Books can be very dry, and nobody can steal nothing from your books. They can copy your wording or this content, but what they can copy, it's your way of execution, how you think and how you're going to utilize tools. And so that's where the training comes in practice. And that's where we in Insight Intelligence, prior to COVID, we had a lot of those trainings. We've been in cooperation with the two big legal firms who were kind enough to allow us to use their premises where we called our clients. And as well, apart from my knowledge, of my experience, I'll bring the guest speaker from their firm to talk legal aspects as well, so they can be armed even more. So it's not just what Mario says, what Mario But as well, if I say that investigation should be conducted this way, the barrister lawyer will come and say, like, you know, this is your rights. This is how you can conduct. This is, you know, you can go there. So I was looking the way the client doesn't need to wait for us to be engaged, but rather to understand not entire investigative process, but to understand that there is a tools on their disposal to start tackling your problems within organization. And that's where my biggest pride comes. And that was, for me, biggest achievement that we could deliver. Now, COVID comes, of course.
Messes everything up.
Yeah, like, you know, but one thing is, like, when we, you know, listen, Tony, you and your guests, you know, it's interactive. You can see faces. But when you're doing education and you don't see the faces, you don't know how much you engage people. So I need to learn that one as well, how to present. So it's not like rocking up and say, I'm going to do this. So in my business, there's a professor, Klaus Smallman, who is his biggest academic, one of the biggest academics. Then there's a Dr. Debbie Coloros, who is a psychological profiler. So when we sit to develop the training module, one of them is the psychological profiling, which is very important to people understand. And you know these questions, how somebody lies, how somebody cheats.
Yes.
I can't answer those questions. I'm not the expert. She is.
I was going to ask you those these questions?
Yeah, like, you know, but as again, you know, Debbie, she's a very well educated, trained, and knowledgeable person with a high practical knowledge. So
Yes.
she's done quite a lot and she can answer those questions. So, like, so the clients we're altering training aspect needs, client needs, or we can, you know, start with a understanding what the investigation is. And
Yeah.
every module break it down through my book, Workplace Investigations, which I wrote with Professor Clive Smallman. Actually, he was my mentor. He was, you know, that one who was checking everything and, you know, making sure that people understand. So it was a good learning curve. So when the clients come and then Professor Clive Smallman comes and talks about his aspect, you know, how to utilize data, which we, scientific approach of the data you collect in your investigation, which I didn't know, because again, is a sometimes called a modus operandi system. That was being always applied. You know, you remember those times, again, those times when you come in library and you hide the book and then looking for the card. You see, that's a card system today. It's a little bit more digital. When you classify somebody or the person or event on a way how it's committed, when it was committed. So you try to match something happening in the future. You go back and say, like, okay, there was a fraud. You look in that card, fraud, stealing the books. There's a names, a potential suspect, Mario, Tony, or something like this. So instead of going there, it's like a library.
They
so you
had
can
that
find.
They had that Nutella rot going in 2022. That's them.
Yes, that's correct.
And
so
they swapped
education.
To peanut butter in 2024.
I think, you know, truly I believe, like I was reading to the article, how Nescafe, somebody got it 500 kilos of cocaine within coffee. Surprise, surprise, right?
Oh,
so,
my goodness, that would be deadly.
Yeah, like, but, you know, obviously somebody imported, you know, by utilizing coffee, because we all know that coffee, actually, it's neutralizing the smell and all the dogs and everything else, salt, pepper, sorry, pepper and the coffee, the most distinguished, the ground, fine
so
grounds,
that's why
which
they do it, Mario, is because it puts the dogs at airports or ports off the scent of the cocaine. Does it
yes.
completely obliterate the smell?
Well, the dogs have been trained, and I have a privilege to see how the dogs, dogs has been trained. It's a terrible process. It's not pleasant for not the animal. And, you know, like if the dog smells the cocaine, of course, you know, he's been trained how to smell the cocaine. So you need to cover that smell. But again, it's been discovered because you have x-rays, you know, the tip-offs, you know, and people discover things. So I try to say there's a call something modus operandi system. So people need to understand, you know, how the crimes can be discovered, how can be recorded, and they've been teaching them, you know, the part of factual investigations. So to understand what a factual investigation is or surveillance investigation it is. And through the working group, as we're educating them, at first hour we're discussing theory, let's go do practical. What was your questions? So instead of we just hammering them what I know, you ask us, how would you like to apply this in your organization? Mm. So, you know, the panel of the Professor Smallman, Dr. Debbie Colors, and myself, we tackle this. So through my knowledge as an investigator, scientific and psychological. So we're utilizing all these knowledges together to clients being armed and understand. And as well, I have the the board, which client gets if there's some new type of crime is being committed or fraud.
I was just going to say, Mario, how do you manage the three of you in your core team?
Yeah.
How do you manage to keep up with the new and innovative ways that crime happens? Like, how do you keep up with that?
You can't win against the fraudster if you don't think as a fraudster.
Right.
There was a good movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
It's a true story.
Yes.
Frank Abagnale. This guy educated the FBI. So, you know, the FBI start learning how the forces think, what they do and everything else. But it was good for that stage when you have the checks, when you have the credit cards swiping, you know, you can, everything was actually easy to falsify today terms, not them. So If we start thinking as a process, so for us to understand what's happening, one side is investigative work, we confirm, and as well there's a abundance of information on internet where the people inquiring, okay, about how to do something to trick insurance companies, for example. So, you know, it's a closed forums, but you know, you have access to read. So, like, that's one of the terms. And you know, as well, I like to talk to the people who done work for us to talk. So, like, what do you think was happening in that case? Because some cases are, you know, highlighted straight away. Most of them, they are, you know, ordinary people.
Yeah.
Genuine claims, but those who stand out, then I go through the process of talking to the people who done investigations, what was collected, how it's collected, and as well with the partners who provide us information, you know, government agencies who can supply some databases and so on. They say that, so, you know, you put all this together and you can look for the trend is appearing somewhere around the world. And usually that's a task of government. The government has a really clear idea what's happening on the market, so you can confirm your suspicions based on you know, a couple of informations that this is the case. And then you go back to client and say, this is what has been done in questionnaire. If you're doing, let's just say, employment, we teach them how to do diligence properly. Then they apply that knowledge straight away. Most of them, they do, because it's, you know, it's in benefit of the client. So what good I would be if I hold that knowledge for myself and see the client suffer? I'd rather give that knowledge ahead and say, this is how we're seeing, this is what should be done in future. And they say, thank you very much. And of course, you know, client is accept this and utilize this as much as possible they can.
Yeah. Mario, I want to just go back a little bit to risk management. And,
yes, please.
And because that's one of your expert areas of knowledge, I want to talk about how important it is for corporations and business to really look at the risks that could impact them, their business, and their people, and how you integrate risk management in your training.
Thank you, Tony. That's a great question. Risk management is a big thing. It is a big thing for many decades. Particularly as a society advanced in employment, in the new industries, and facing new risks, you know, from the theft, from the fire, from the, you know, rain, floods, you know, just
cyber
we just name it.
Yeah, cyber attacks, theft, yeah. All of that.
Nobody can be the risk management in everything. My field is information. But, you know, we must understand that risk management is based on a couple of rings. First one, it's environment and physical security. They have technical security, mechanical, cyber security, information security. And that's in simple level. So, like, no risk manager cannot tackle all the problems simultaneously. Risk management has been advanced, as we know, to that level that actually when COVID happened, nobody knew what to do. That's the problem.
Yes.
I saw the problem straight away. Very first early stages, I said to myself, logistics is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Now, if we're excluding the conspiracy theories and say, okay, virus is not real, it's a problem because people stay at home because of the... no government wants their citizens to be hungry or being in disadvantage or something like this. So I saw logistics is going to be the biggest problem. This is the first step in risk management that every company needs to feed themselves all with the manpower, information, with the goods, services, and they can export this same to the market. Risk management failed miserably by my standards.
Yes.
And I think it's actually declining. And we can see now as well, when it comes to risk management, nobody, because risk, basically what they say, There's four ways how you can tackle the risk. You know, you can acknowledge risk, you can minimize risk, you can transfer risk, or you can accept the risk.
Yes.
So instead of going to depth. So they changed the name of the standards from 36,000, sorry, it's a new one, old ones, 4,600, whatever it was. I forgot now. But and it basically, I forgot, what was that called 10 years ago? I think 4,600 ISO. But the name is changed. the framework stays same. So there's four ways how we can tackle the risk, right? So
Yes.
like when you have the risk, either you want to accept, you will not accept, and you want to minimize, you're going to transfer. That's the point. But when it comes to the risk management in past 2 years, I can see that past 2 years, nobody was working on the risks. What's going to happen when everything comes back to normal?
Yes, good point, Mario.
without naming. And look, I give the pride. When I was working at CK, that knowledge and sharing my clients, we had a war room and we practiced what was called a pre-mortem analysis, pre-mortem or predictive analysis.
Yeah.
So it's very important that people understand we always had the post-mortem analysis when something happened, retroactive. So we analyze Mario and Tony, you know, steal the 2,000 cans of the Nutella. And we drove to San Francisco and in order to find out how they did it. But pre-mortem analysis, it's a highly sophisticated exercise when it comes to train the staff, which basically is you create a war room and you tackle the problem. So one problem, you create three worst case scenarios and how you're going to respond to them. And they put a time limit. It's a PR, it's a marketing, it's a reputation, it's a logistics, it's communications. And I again say there's you created the in that exercise you create a couple groups battle groups I'll call them on different levels. So if one can function, second one can function, and so on.
Yeah.
Most corporations don't adapt and not adjust this because they had never been exposed to this. Fortunately, I did have surpassing this knowledge, and that's called the Ausfuhrkrieg on German, which is basically you need to. Create elements in your organization. When one cell doesn't work, another works. Risk management in Australia, it's in a steadily decline.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we can see on the airports. We saw the airports, the messes, you know what I mean? Like, wow,
I
was for like,
I was
Jesus.
As you're saying that, I'm thinking about risk management, and this is my nursing hat going on. So back 20 years ago, we used to run those desktop scenarios around pandemics and where stuff was stored. So back then, we had huge warehouses of flu vaccines, gowns, gloves, masks, antibiotics, etc. Now, that was always part of our risk management matrix when I worked at high levels within health. But what has happened over successive governments since my time was that seemed to have fallen off the radar. So I was absolutely shocked that had somewhat appeared, from my opinion, to have fallen off the radar, and we were not prepped in the way that we were 20 years ago. Because back when I started nursing eons ago, we were always told that there will be epidemics and then pandemics, and that we don't know when that would happen, but that it would absolutely happen because the epidemiologists had predicted it. And that is decades and decades and decades old. And back then, we prepped for those scenarios. Each health service district had a risk management plan, and on that risk management was pandemic and how we managed that risk. But somewhere along the line, that's fallen off. And I'm guessing that that's the same for corporations, that they might have existing levels of risk, and for whatever reason, successive changeovers of CEOs or whatever, those risks might have fallen off. And I'm guessing that when your company comes in, you can actually go and go, well, actually, this needs to be back on your register. This needs to be part of your risk management. This identity theft now is actually done digitally and electronically, and this is what you need to do to make sure that doesn't happen to your corporation. So you actively do that sort of work, don't you, Mario?
That's correct, Tony. As I said at the beginning, education is a theory. Without training, practical training, you can't prepare yourself properly, right?
Correct.
So the training must be done. And I understand corporations are not military. Even police can do these things. Police is always busy, and you know they have the different tasks ahead of themselves. But corporations, they should and they must prepare themselves for the scenarios we're doing in these war rooms, pre-mortem analysis. Because, Tony, you'll agree to me, perhaps doesn't look tragic if somebody lose, I don't know, 50 reams of paper, not delivered that day. But you'll appreciate it's a domino effect. So it's a lot of small things happening around us without connecting, which is called the chaos theory. The chaos theory doesn't happen just by accident. It happens because of some event somewhere. And it's scientifically
Something
proven.
Something started it. It's got to start somewhere.
And that's what happened in corporations. Once when the fraud happened, it's going to happen on all levels before, you know, you can't just plug the gaps. You know, you need to understand how they're going to, because responses are very crucial. And when a response has been created, that's what that carries the corporation beneficiary analysis. And they understand how much money they saved, how much time they saved, and, you know, reputation and so on and so on. There's so many elements. So that's what we do with the corporations. That's what we bring, that value. Again, I can't talk about cameras. I can talk about, you know, the computers. We know that one.
Yes.
We bring the value of risk management interrogation, which means that we create in the scenarios which is going to reflect the company by utilizing information risk management framework, which basically it's all relating against around the industrial espionage, you know, the PR, publicity, marketing, sort of these things, right? And, you know, but then you can add on these elements, what if camera stops working, what it is, and then you are actually give them the tools to understand that risk management is not just going with a piece of paper. Somebody goes, I have the lights, have the chair. Okay, you've done all of this, but suddenly you work from home. So what's going to happen in case there's no electricity for 24 hours in Sydney, West Coast? Just freak of nature. How are you going to conduct the business? I'm sorry. There is always somebody on this planet that's going to take it, your spot, my spot, not just because they can, they will, because they must, because there's a gap. So if you don't work 24 hours, so we try to find not just the problems, but solutions as well, because every problem has solution even before they happen. That's how the risk manager works. You always have the solution even before problem happen. And how is that demonstrated? Easy. When something happened, we always have response. So we're creating the solution. So is a bandage or is a concrete? So it's always solution before problem happens. So problems, we're creating. Solutions exist. And that's with our risk management. It's very important to be not just monitored, trained, you know, like, and, you know, ticking the boxes, but to be trained into what that risk management it is. How it's going to reflect the organization to the war room operational training, and then finding the solutions for the possible problems in the future.
Mario, you created Insight Intelligence Institute,
yes,
which is an institute for training and education. And we're going to go next week into all of those different ranges of education. But I know you're really proud of Insight Intelligence Institute. I want to know when the moment was that you thought, okay, I need to set up an institute to make that education accessible. When was that moment?
Well, that was like 4 years ago when I was very first time sitting with Professor Clyde, and we spoke about, you know, everything and anything. And then he told me, why the you got all this knowledge or your you know, abundance of the skills and experience if you can't share?
Yeah.
And I tried to understand how I can share something. And I was a little bit shy. It's a different thing. You write a book, you give somebody a written document, it's been corrected.
Completely different.
No, yeah. And then I realize I don't care what my competitors do, because like my competitors are not my concern. They have their life, whatever they do, however they do, I can't spend my time and effort just checking on them.
Yeah.
Instead of this, the best way I saw myself, it's time to give the back. And the best way to give back is through the academy.
Yeah.
Being surrounded myself with the people like Dr. David Kolaros, Professor Clyde Smallman, alongside with me and other guest speakers. That is to combine our unique set of skills and knowledge and experience and give the clients those tools to be better prepared to tackle their problems prior they become the bigger problems, small problems to be investigated rather become bigger one. And of course, I was very proud for one simple reason, because when I surrounded myself with people like a Clive and Debbie, I got value to myself. I validated myself that my knowledge with
is
nobody,
valuable.
that's correct. So like these people not stay next to me if they think that I'm just doing BS work. You know what I mean? I'm just me.
Correct.
But it's, that's correct. So instead of this, they invested their knowledge, their experience for me to I learn how to articulate what I want to say, rather than to be another one, Mario, me, and I know everything. No, it's not true. So that's where the pride it is. And when I saw the clients responding to our invitations for 2 hours, you know, 3 hours training sessions with the new trends emerging, supported with my staff from my academy, with a legal providers, I saw the clients enjoying this. And that's my pride, you know, to see that
yes,
message has been passed, not just me, and that they are very happy with that one. So they can see we're caring for their business, not just for the, you know, we're making money with them or on them or something like this, you know.
And Mario, part of your part of the components that of the training from Insight Intelligence Institute is around that idea that you provide best practice. And so,
that's correct. That's
can
correct.
You explain? I know what best practice is, but can you explain to the audience what best practice is and why it's important in education and training, particularly around intelligence?
First prerequisite is that we need to go around legal time framework. So we, you know, everything must be done in accordance with the law, legislations, and acts. So there's no gray zones.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we can all talk, oh, I will do this. Tony, everybody's great in theory. Like everybody in theory can do, build the bridges overnight. It doesn't work that way. So the best practice for the companies it is, it's based on legal aspects what the government provides, you know, through the legislations, acts, and laws. Then secondly, it is to the framework given to us how investigation should be conducted, and that framework of investigation satisfied legally challenges on a court, on a court of law if they go there. So because most of our investigations end up with a legal team, either with the insurance bank or with a client has a no win, no fee solicitor.
Yes.
So that's the best practice. So when you go in a court and be in court many times, with you know, magistrate look at you, say like, what's your qualification? Okay. But when you start listing qualifications, experiences, I say, okay. And then they ask
that
you
gives
what's
you authority, doesn't it, Mario? That
that's
gives
great.
You
thank you.
Authority in that court as well as in real life.
That's correct. Because every report we send out of every our investigator, when I signed off, they don't care for investigator. They care, you know, who you are, Mario Baker, that you can sign off something like this. So that's a best practice. Government legislations, acts, and laws. Then you have the best practice of report preparations, writing, and submitting, so that can, if the challenge in the court of law can be stand there. And thirdly, most importantly, is you add the weight of all these learnings through our
from everyone
research
across the globe.
That's
it?
Correct. So, research. So you know, like sometimes. People always mixing between investigation and interrogation. Interrogation is totally something different, and there's applications there which I can't go there, but it's heavy stuff, you know. People don't understand. But when you have investigations in corporate world, you can't go beyond the law. If you go beyond the law,
you are liable.
You're in trouble. And I rather being in a court of law, say, we done this, this, and this, and this by no breaching the law. And look, a magistrate says to me, well, thank you, but, you know, we don't need your statement. Rather than to say, your statement is false, you lied, you are, you know, this and that. So that's how we're educating clients as well through our experience as a best practice given to us by government, by corporations, and we combine together and we inserting that research which Clive and Debbie adding on top of this. by, visiting all these fancy places on the internet, and they learn what's happening there. So how the people think, how the people
I was going to
operating.
say, Mario, part of the education and training discussion also leads into research. How
That's correct.
important is research in ongoing education and training, particularly in your field of expertise?
Intelligence involved quite a bit. My field is human intelligence. That's mean interaction between human to human. You have the people who are working for you and people who work for them. So it is usually gathering intelligence from person to person. So that's that evolved not that much, because we still have that test of people to talk, people to show off, and you become a target, then you create a target profile, then you find a way how to approach social media engineering, social engineering, and so on. So on. What is the adequately being accepted that people love to post online? So it's much more easier to gather information. When it comes to investigations, this is where the trick starts. What do you do with the data collected? I can't tell the clients you need to use this. So instead of me forcing them to read something, I say like, we have the in training session, would you mind to come? Topic of conversation is Tony and Mario, riding on the waves in Brazil and stealing all the cocaine, from the forest. And they say, okay, so how they come to Brazil, how they learn? And so like, you see, this is the case number, this, this, and this, and this. And they pick it up straight away and they say, oh, okay, interesting. And when you have the two or three people from organization, Tony, they go back to organization. They say, this is what the guys told us. So it's not an opinion. It's a fact base. You need to support with the findings, with the links, with the statistics. So when they go back, they say, like, this is not opinion based. And that's what that makes us very good in what we deliver. So instead of just opinion, and we support this with the findings, to the facts, to the counter arguments, and they can say, okay, now I understand. So you need to draw quite a lot of parallel researchers simultaneously to support what you're saying. And that's what makes us very, very good in what we're delivering.
Mario, you picked up, I picked up on a word that you used just before, human intelligence. It's a great word combination. Can you just tell me a little bit about what you mean when you say human intelligence?
There is a several disciplines of intelligence. We have technical intelligence, geospatial intelligence, subtle intelligence, signal intelligence. As a society progresses, the means of transfer information as well has been developed. What didn't change from the beginning? It is geography. So we always said that, the planet Earth as it is. So that was always being collected as all these maps and everything else. So it's become geospatial intelligence. Now it's a different satellite imagery and, adding 3D dimensions. And it's a different story, right? 40, 60 years ago, that was not the case. But human intelligence, it is that in a nutshell, when a target profile has been developed, that somebody needs to be approached for the purposes of gathering information or placing information to that person, that's where the my work starts. How I gonna extract information from some certain person without them being suspicious that they giving us information? Or you
and
turn
how
them
are you
into
gonna tell if they're lying when you ask them a question? That's sort of like.
I go back now to modus operandi system. So before you start your work, you already know this person's social behavior, environmental behavior, working behavior, acquaintances, family, and everything else. Then you come with a quite relatively strong, powerful, truthful story. And you create that environment. So, like, it's not like in the movies that, the beautiful lady comes and, to the glasses, records everything. What is here, it's very hard to get. Because through my working experience, when I was working particularly in government, people you need to approach, they've been trained very well. And they will recognize when it's become somebody suspicious, interested in you, who you are, and everything else. Then inform them. Levels of the hierarchy and they acting accordingly. But usually they remove you from the picture because you become the target. They understand this. How they know? They know why, because we give them the truth. So if they reply with a lie, they become aware. Talking too much. They reply with that. If you give them truth and they, you know, reply with a lie, then you know that they already know that you approach them. Right? So it's elements where all this happening.
Fascinating.
All this happening over the period of time. It's not nothing certain.
Yes.
And you know when somebody looked at Tony, you must understand something. If somebody gonna approach you, you know what I mean, to know information from you, they already know so much about you through surveillance, through the monitoring
through
online.
All of
everything
that
else.
Other stuff that you do before you get to that point where you're approaching them, you've got a whole body of info ready.
Yes. But sooner or later, everybody leaves some evidence, I mean, as a signature.
Makes a mistake, leaves
That's
evidence,
correct.
Doesn't think out something completely. Everyone does that without a doubt.
And there comes the moment when you need to, let's go call this person asset. You need to remove yourself from that asset.
Yeah.
So you never work in your environment, you know what I mean, where you live, work and everything else. So it's entire methodology behind this, but...
Yes.
Before I approach somebody, I know so much about that person.
Yeah.
That person, he can't refuse the truth. If he if he replies to me the lies,
you're gonna
for
know.
Example, I know that Tony loves to be online every Friday between 12 and 2.
With Mario.
With Mario. That's where
so
the quick questions
can't
actually form.
Actually, be in Brazil stealing that cocaine.
That's correct. And another thing which everybody should notice, working from home actually created already many loopholes for economic espionage. So it's not just for terms of Bitcoin, right? I was doing something about Bitcoin, some articles, and Bitcoin was the biggest tool. But corporations will never know how exposed they are when things start as going south and sour.
Yeah.
So it's basically training, again, education of the staff, how to recognize somebody, approach them, why they approach them, and questions asked. You must... In terrorism, you can't understand what a counterterrorism it is if you don't understand what terrorists, who they are and how they do.
Yeah.
And only then you can apply those things. And same goes in investigations and intelligence and anything else. You must start thinking with your knowledge expertise how they think. In human intelligence, it's quite opposite. I need to be 3 steps ahead. I need to know 3 days you're ahead.
Yeah.
And I said, people love to talk about espionage, but I said, like, life... In human intelligence, it's very difficult because...
I can imagine.
Yeah, and, you know, I had the problems later on in my life because I couldn't perform 100% anymore because it's a human life at the end, right?
Yes.
And
yes,
a lot
yes.
of people yes. become collateral.
Yes.
And but now
that's
in corporations, it's different. So when you work in government, it's different, but in corporations, it's different because in corporations, I'm teaching them how to prevent... possible intrusions less intrusive methods, because less intrusive methods are the open source intelligence. You know, people think, you know, doing researches, but I'm teaching them how to prevent possible approach by competitor in terms of industrial economic espionage through means of social engineering and so on and so on. And people see that as like, wow, I didn't know this. And I say, like, well, it's not how much you protective you are, Tony. People forget they have the family who love to talk. People have the... And as again, people love to show off. So it's not hard to pick it up, somebody.
Yes.
And but yeah, I hope people understand. If they want to like to know more, feel free to contact
Fantastic.
Me and now.
Fantastic. And on that note, we are completely out of time. I want
we are again
today to jump on Insight Intelligence, the website, for Mario and the team, because it has loads and loads of information about the Insight Intelligence Institute, the trainings that they undertake, the courses that they do, and how you can engage with Mario and the team around risk management and management of all the horrible things that could happen to you if you don't actively and proactively try to protect yourself, your business, your corporation, or the government.
That's great.
Mario Beckers, As always, it's an absolute delight talking to you. I also want to encourage people to jump on to mariobeques.com and look at Mario's books. As I said, Mario knows that I've been listening to the audio version of Mario's book, and it's truly magnificent. So I encourage you to jump on, have a look at the book, download the ebook, the audible version, or buy the paperback. Blood-Soaked Soil is phenomenally well written and well spoken by Mario. So a quick shout out, if you have any interest in spies, espionage, fraud and crime prevention, jump onto Insight Intelligence, have a look at what Mario and the team do. It's amazing stuff, and I'm really grateful that I get to share my Friday afternoons with Mario Beques. And that, my friends, is your lot for this week. Thank you so much, Mario, for sharing.
Thank you, Tony.
So freely and so abundantly with the audience today. Guys, we'll have a replay show next week because Mario is overseas.
Yes.
And I am actually interstate, so we're going to have a wee break, but we'll be back the week after that where we're going to talk more in depth about the training available through Insight Intelligence Institute. And we need to get off the air now. So thank you, Mario,
yes.
And bye for now.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, team.